Real Madrid saved themselves at the death in a stunning Champions League match in Germany.
Modric to the back post. They're waiting. They've got it! And it's scored by Casemiro! 3 minutes into added time and Real Madrid have saved a point.
Manchester City make it two in some two as they march past Marseille.
It's a lovely run by De Bruyne and Sterling can't miss from there. And Manchester City have three goals to go with the 3 points that are surely going back to Manchester with them.
And reigning champions Bayern survive a scare to stay on track against Lokomotiv.
It's Kimmich out of the area. Good strike! It's a brilliant goal by Joshua Kimmich. Bayern München have regained the lead.
There was also a stunning Atletico comeback, a great win for Porto, and Liverpool are 10,000 not out. We'll reveal all. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and we're going to be looking back on another brilliant night of action on match day two. Night three of the competition did not disappoint. Joining me are commentators Richard Kaufman and Rob Daly. Hello, gents, and also the European football expert Kevin Hatchard. Kevin, the shocks, the surprises, and the late drama just keeps on coming.
I love this competition. So much drama everywhere you look. Late goals, stories changing from second to second, and so many interesting matchups. And what we're seeing already, Chris, a chaotic start to the season in domestic football. Some of that chaos, delightfully, is seeping into the Champions League.
Yes, long may it continue. We've got a tradition on the show, three word match reports, and Rob Daly, you're going to start here because you were watching what was supposed to be our second late game, Borussia Mönchengladbach against Real Madrid. It became the story of the night. Almost impossible to sum it up in three words, but I've got to ask you.
Well, I'm just thinking from the point of view that you're sort of running a tabloid newspaper, really, for this one. I'm going for Casemiro, the hero. You know, on another night, you would be talking about one of the most famous European wins in Gladbach's recent history. But instead, we're left talking about the fact that Casemiro helped drive Real Madrid to those two goals late on. The header back for the Benzema goal on 87 minutes. The fact he scored the second himself in the 93rd. Absolutely incredible, and I can't wait to get into it further.
Yeah, we will do very shortly. So Rob went for a rhyme. Richard Kaufman, you were watching Marseille against Manchester City. For us, your three words, please.
City miles ahead.
Very nice. Look at that.
Yeah. Simple, to the point. And they were, really. They were far superior than the French opponents this evening in the Stade Velodrome. And 3-0, pretty reflective of what we saw.
You sounded almost as relaxed saying that as Pep Guardiola did for most of the night at the Stade Velodrome. OK, let's start our look back with Real Madrid. They were, of course, looking to bounce back after that shock defeat to Shakhtar on match day one. They took on Borussia Mönchengladbach in Germany. It didn't quite go according to plan.
Gladbach are in here, though, and they've scored against the run of play. Absolutely incredible. Marcus Thuram has smashed it into the roof of the net. This has come out of nowhere. Overcooked that pass, but it's into Player. Good save. Thuram's tucked it in. The flag has stayed down, and Borussia Mönchengladbach have scored again. It's Marcus Thuram again. And 13 minutes into the second half, it's Borussia Mönchengladbach 2, Real Madrid 0. Absolutely incredible. It's nodded back, and Benzema has hooked it into the net. And with 3.5 minutes to go, Real Madrid have got a big lifeline through their number nine, Karim Benzema. Modric to the back post. They're waiting. They've got it! And it's scored by Casemiro! 3 minutes into added time, and Real Madrid have saved a point.
And how big might that late goal be? Rob joins us now. A year ago, Real Madrid were beaten in their opening match, like they were this season. A year ago, they were 2-0 down in their second group game, and they came back from 2-0 down, and that was the turning point, and they went through. We won't know tonight, of course, whether it's the turning point again in 2020, but they were staring at a seriously big mountain to climb had they lost that game, Rob.
Yeah, it was looking to be a famous night for Borussia Mönchengladbach. Real Madrid dominated the play for much of it without really hurting Borussia too much. They had lots of possession. They had some chances before the opening goal through Karim Benzema and Toni Kroos, who tested Jan Sommer. Then out of nowhere, with essentially their first attack, Gladbach scored. Lovely intricate play between Player and Hoffman to carve out the chance for Thuram, who smashed it in the net. He was saying before this game, you know, when I played against Inter on match day one, it fulfilled a dream to play in the Champions League. It looked like it was going to be an unbelievable night for him when he tucked in the second after Player's save was, effort was saved by Courtois. But Real Madrid are Real Madrid, and they did have that experience. They had Hazard, they had Modric come onto the pitch, and the pair of them, Modric directly involved in the equalising goal, just suddenly got Real Madrid in possession and further up the pitch. Gladbach sat back so deep, invited that pressure, and both goals, in truth, from Real Madrid, crosses to the back post, nodded down, finished by someone, were very, very similar.
Rob, the UEFA Champions League demands a brutally high level of concentration. And as well as Borussia Mönchengladbach have done on the first two match days, first against Inter in Milan and then against Real in this game, they have been done, as you say, on two far post headers late in the game against Real. I don't think they'll be happy about the goal they gave away late on to Romelu Lukaku against Inter either. And you cannot make those mistakes at this level, and they're collecting the what might have been moments already.
They're learning the hard way. It should be 6 points instead of two will be the mindset of Marco Rosa, their brilliant young head coach. They conceded that late goal to Lukaku, as you said. 2-2 draws that have come about in very similar circumstances. I think almost more than the fact they conceded those two late goals and the nature of them, because Real Madrid were relentless and they do have that quality. Benzema's overhead kick was exceptional after brilliant work from Casemiro. By the way, on the replay of that first goal for Real Madrid, you see Valverde swing that cross to the back post, put his head in his hands and go, oh no, I've overhit that. And then suddenly Casemiro and Benzema save it. What they will look back to, and I'm sure what will keep Alassane Player awake for a little bit longer tonight, is the fact he was one-on-one with Thibaut Courtois at 2-0. And rather than just slotting it past the Belgian keeper, he sort of struck it at him. It was a really good save from Courtois. And Gladbach had chances to kill that game off, having, in truth, created little before making it 2-0. You know, I was thinking, as it was 2-0, it is such a shame Borussia Park is not full tonight. This green glowing spaceship on the edge of the city centre with a booming Nord curve at the north stands where the diehards find themselves on a match day. But maybe some of them will be glad they're not having to trudge away with what feels like a defeat. You know, the Gladbach players out there look absolutely shell-shocked.
Yeah, you just hope they can pick themselves up now. Back-to-back games coming up against Shakhtar. For Real Madrid, back-to-back games coming up against Inter. It was something that you touched upon in the build-up to the game, Rob, that, you know, a lot's been made about Real Madrid needing to maybe move on from the old guard who led them to three straight Champions Leagues. But you said correctly at the weekend in El Clasico, it was those old heads that got them through it. And actually tonight, it's that same experience which has bailed them out again.
Well, just look at these appearance numbers. I mean, Ramos made, you know, he was playing as a striker in the closing stages. 125th Champions League appearance tonight. For Casemiro, who got an assist and a goal, 62nd. For Modric, 84th. For Karim Benzema, his 122nd appearance in the competition tonight and his 66th goal. You don't throw away that experience. And Zinedine Zidane knows that. Also encouraging for Real Madrid tonight, the return of Eden Hazard. He hasn't played yet this season until tonight because of an injury, and he did ask new questions that Vinicius was struggling to do into the closing stages. Some lovely little touches working with Luka Modric. And yes, while Luka Modric might not be a necessary starter for Real Madrid anymore, he still has an incredible amount to offer for a team that are looking once again to compete for the La Liga title. And again now, bottom of the group, 1 point from two games, trying to get themselves further into the Champions League.
Rob, much more from you later. You mentioned Benzema's appearances. Tonight he scored in his 16th Champions League campaign. That brings him level with Leo Messi and Ryan Giggs. We are talking about one of the greatest goalscorers in this competition's history. So that was one of the late games. What a draw. The early game was also a stalemate. It finished Shakhtar 0, Inter 0. Inter, by far the best team in the first half, and Nicolò Barella hit the bar, and then Romelu Lukaku thumped the woodwork with a free kick. Second half never really took off in Kiev, and it finished goalless there, and it means that Group B, after a third of the group stage already, is like this. Shakhtar, top of the tree on 4 points. Borussia Mönchengladbach and Inter behind them on 2 apiece, with Real Madrid bottom of the section still on 1. And Kevin Hatchard, I've mentioned it, and I'll mention it again, Real Madrid against Inter. Home and away. Wow, they are two enormous games for two of the biggest clubs in this competition.
Fantastic games, fantastic stories still to be written, because these teams that have immense quality, you can't doubt that, but they both have flaws, and we've seen that in the early part of the campaign. Wonderful goal scorers, Romelu Lukaku on one side, Karim Benzema on the other. I can't wait already. They're going to be absolutely brilliant games, and they mean so much. You would have thought, oh, well, this will be about who finishes top. No, no. This will be about, do you go through or not?
Yeah, the first of those is next Tuesday at the Estadio Alfredo Di Stefano in Madrid, and it is one of our commentary matches here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. OK, to Group C now, and to the Stade Velodrome, where Marseille took on Pep Guardiola and Manchester City.
A mistake, and it's given straight into the path of De Bruyne. He side foots it to Torres, and he pokes it into the back of the net. Mistake at the back from Marseille, and Manchester City have the lead. Their dominance in these early stages has so deserved. Foden crosses it left footed, arriving is Sterling. Gundogan from inside the 6-yard box, left footed first time, surely kills the game now for Manchester City. It's a lovely run by De Bruyne, and Sterling can't miss from there. And Manchester City have 3 goals to go with the 3 points that are surely going back to Manchester with them.
Manchester City comfortably make it 2 wins from 2. Richard Kaufman was your commentator, and he joins us now. Was it too much of a surprise? I think it's now 11 defeats in a row for Marseille in the group stage, and City really, at this stage of the competition anyway, we've seen over the last 2 or 3 years, are pretty much unbeatable.
Yeah, they are, and they very much deserve what they got tonight, which is a commanding victory, 3-0. Just exactly what Pep Guardiola would have wanted. No Sergio Aguero, no Gabriel Jesus, but were no problem really. Ilkay Gundogan and Ferran Torres have now scored in both of the group stage matches, in which they've scored 6 goals and only conceded 1. And well, there may seem a little fragility about them when it comes to the English Premier League. At the moment, when it comes to the UEFA Champions League, they're looking very rock solid.
They've won their opening 2 matches in the group stage for the 3rd time in the last 4 seasons. Kevin Hartshard, you were watching the game alongside Richmond. Will Andre Villas-Boas wonder, think that perhaps he could have attacked City more, or perhaps he could have picked a different team?
I think he might wonder if picking the back three was the best thing to do. He's clearly made a decision that if we play 3 centre-backs, if we get the wing-backs to tuck in and make it more difficult, have an extra midfielder in there, don't get outnumbered, make it tough for City, then we can maybe ease ourselves into the game. What actually happened was, having played back four so often, his players then looked jittery. They looked a bit out of sorts because they're not used to playing that system. City played very, very well in those opening exchanges, in the sense that they moved the ball quickly, the movement was sharp and clever. And Marseille was so frazzled in the first 20 minutes that they were forced into errors. And that's where Valentin Rongier makes the mistake, giving the ball straight to Kevin De Bruyne. Nobody should ever do that. And De Bruyne, as we've come to expect, sets up Ferran Torres. They did then move 15, 20 metres up the pitch, try to engage them. But even then, because he hadn't picked Dimitri Payet, because he hadn't picked Dario Benedetto, he didn't have that oomph in attack. It was all a bit reliant on Florian Thauvin to do something special. And yes, he hit the post, but they never really exposed the flaws in this City team.
2nd straight defeat for Marseille on their return to Europe's top table after an absence of 7 years. You mentioned it, Richard. No Sergio Aguero, we don't know for how long. No Gabriel Jesus. If City next week in the Champions League and in the Premier League have to play with a false nine, how did they look tonight, and which player is most likely to play it, because they're so fluid in the final third.
Yeah, Torres played it tonight on the whole. My personal opinion is I think Raheem Sterling is probably the most dynamic of those players that could play in the front three. And we know Kevin De Bruyne has played there. And don't forget, Phil Foden has also played there. So even though these out-and-out strikers are missing, there are these false number nines, these attacking potential there for Pep Guardiola. They've got a lot of riches at their disposal. You know, they've got a very good deep squad. Yes, it has been tested. Yes, their games are coming thick and fast because they, remember, started the Premier League season 9 days later than most of the other teams because they'd only just finished their UEFA Champions League campaign. They were giving those extra days. So, you know, Manchester City are in a very strong position now, the rest of the group. And I think that he can pick a team for the matches coming up against Olympiacos that maybe he can rotate things a little bit if he requires, in hopes, obviously, that those players that are out, I know Ake will be back shortly, that he can actually, you know, mix things up a little bit. They're in a really strong position now in this group.
They certainly are. The opposite can be said for Olympique de Marseille, and we can hear from their manager now, André Villas-Boas.
I think it was difficult when we got the 2-0 because we were growing a little bit in the game, and we take the 2-0, and that was a hard thing for us. So we were never able after to get the reaction at 2-0, and we suffered the 3-0. First half, we came in a little bit nervous, lost a little bit of balls. This gave them their first goal. Second half a little bit better. We have a few more control of the ball, a few more chances. Not a lot. But when we were ready to make changes, introduce some changes in the game, we take the 2-0. And, with all the fatigue that was running in our team, we weren't able to come back from that.
So Marseille 0, Manchester City 3. André Villas-Boas is former club, a long time ago now, Porto, Kevin Hatchard, were winners in the same section against Olympiacos, and a very important success given Olympiacos had won on match day one and Porto had been beaten at City.
Yeah, it was a really important win, and they got a great start because the captain of Olympiacos, Andreas Boukalakis, had a nightmare moment when he gave up possession just outside his own penalty area. That was seized upon, a low ball into the penalty area, was only half cleared by Yann Mvila, and then a lovely moment then for Fabio Vieira. His first goal in the Champions League, just 20, drilled it into the net. It was a wonderful finish. And then the game was quite tight, really. Olympiacos had some moments. El Arabi had a header straight at the goalkeeper. But Porto were growing and growing and growing, and then eventually got their second goal. Moussa Marega, who I thought was a threat all evening, lovely cross to the far post, and there was Sergio Oliveira with a bullet header. So Porto, I think, deserved the win in the end, and they're right back in it.
They are group stage regulars, Porto. Not many have ever played in the competition more than the Portuguese giants. This is Group C then, after two matches. Manchester City, 6 points out of six. Porto and Olympiacos, both on 3. Marseille at the bottom of the pile at the moment. A long way to go, of course, with 0 points. To Group A next, and the defending champions Bayern were in Russia. They took on Lokomotiv in one of the two early kickoffs, and it wasn't as straightforward as many thought.
Clipped in towards the far post on this near side. Pavel back in early and headed down low at the near post by Leon Goretzka. And Bayern have taken the lead after 13 minutes in Moscow. Here come Lokomotiv into the penalty area. They've scored! Lokomotiv have equalised. And it's Anton Miranchuk with the finish. Bayern completely opened up at the back to the delight of the home fans. It's Kimmich headed the area. Good strike! It's a brilliant goal by Joshua Kimmich. Turning on the D and then lancing it into the far corner. Bayern München have regained the lead.
So Bayern victorious again in the competition, and I think I'm right in saying there's 13 straight victories in the Champions League. And for Hansi Flick, I mean, he can do no wrong, Kevin Hatchard. I know you watch a lot of the Bundesliga and you were keeping an eye on that game, and of all of those 13 victories, I can't think of many where Bayern were pushed as close and as hard as Lokomotiv did.
It was a great effort from Lokomotiv. You have to give them immense credit for the way that they managed to push the champions in that way, but it's an old cliche, but it's because it's true. Mm. Champions find a way to win. And I've seen this a few times now with Bayern already. I did a game where they were playing Hertha Berlin, and Hertha played really well. It was 3-3 going into the final stages. Robert Lewandowski won a penalty, scored a penalty. And just those little moments of quality, those little moments of experience, Joshua Kimmich has become such an important player for them, for Germany. He plays with this incredible intensity, but he has great technique as well, like we saw for the goal. I must admit, I wondered, when he got moved by Hansi Flick permanently from right back to central midfield, I thought Bayern might lose something. I thought, okay, well, it'll be interesting to see how he does in midfield because he's such a good right back. He's an even better central midfielder now because he dictates the play. He has wonderful technique, whether it's crosses, shots, passes. He knows where to be. He's like a little lieutenant on the field for Flick.
Yeah.
And he has become, through sheer force of will, a hugely important player in the Champions League.
And you can see just why Bayern... Many, I think, were a little surprised that they let Thiago go, but that is the midfield too, right? Ideally, it's Kimmich and it's Leon Goretzka, who was excellent again. He scored. Zé Luis, though, might not be sleeping too well tonight because there was a chance. He was through on goal at 1-1. All he had to do was square it, and he shot himself, and it didn't. It was never going to trouble Manuel Neuer. That was the moment for Lokomotiv, maybe, to pull off a famous victory in Group A. The other match was an absolute thriller between Atletico and Salzburg. Atletico, having been beaten heavily by Bayern, of course, on match day one, won the game by 3-2. It really could have gone either way. Marcus Llorente put them ahead. Then Szoboszlai and an own goal from Felipe had Salzburg 2-1 up, before João Felix, one of the most expensive players ever, came up with two vital goals, and Atletico, from 2-1 down, won the game by 3-2. We can hear from Salzburg's Rasmus Christensen now, who has been speaking about the positives he believes his side can take from the defeat.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we are a young team. I mean, we showed also last season that we belong in this tournament. I think we showed that again here tonight against a great team from the second seeding level. So I think we've proven every single round that we belong, and now we have Bayern at home next week, which is also a huge game for us, and we just have to go out there and play Red Bull Salzburg football like we are doing. And I think, yeah, for sure, I mean, like, for me, it's the best team in the world at the moment, so we're looking forward to this game, of course. And yeah, we have to go home to Salzburg and prepare for the game in the weekend, and then look forward.
There's a lovely, I'm not going to say innocence, but carefree attitude about Salzburg this season, the same as last season when it, you know, they went to Liverpool, I remember, and really went toe-to-toe. And again with Atletico tonight, who we think is this incredibly well-drilled defensive unit. They've now conceded 6 goals in 2 Champions League games, even if they won.
And they've now gone 4 games in La Liga without conceding at all.
Yeah.
So a really strange kind of mix of results there. This was absolutely huge for Atletico. And you've mentioned it already, Chris. João Felix, when he went to Atletico Madrid, went for huge money. We know that. We know he hasn't been in his best overall. I felt he needed a moment as an Atletico Madrid player. I think he's had that moment now. Yes, it's a close-range finish for the winner, but the technique to trust himself to hit that volley, there aren't that many players that could put that away in the way he did. He'd already had a scissor kick that had hit the bar,
yeah.
So we saw a glimpse of the talent there. But I think he's a guy, if you look at his short career, it's about confidence and it's about comfort. He needs to feel comfortable in his surroundings. He has the belief of Diego Simeone, his coach. We know Simeone will push him. I think playing alongside Luis Suarez is going to be massive for him going forward. I think that's a huge moment for him and a massive moment for Atleti.
So Group A after 2 matches, Bayern top with 6 points. No surprise, really. Atletico on 3, Lokomotiv and Salzburg both have 1 point. Heading into next week, of course, all these teams are back in action next Tuesday as well. To Group D, 2 really interesting matches. this was always going to have goals. It finished Atalanta 2, Ajax 2. Ajax stormed into a two-goal advantage and must have thought that they were on for their first victory in this season's group stage. Dusan Tadic put them ahead from the penalty spot, and Lassina Traore then made it two. But Duvan Zapata in the second half scored two really good goals, and despite both teams then going for it, because that's the only way they know, Kevin Hatchard, neither could find a winner. Finished 2-2 there. A better result most definitely for Atalanta than it is for Ajax.
Is there ever going to be an Atalanta game again that's got fewer than four goals
nope,
in it?
I don't think so.
It's amazing. You have to give them massive credit, actually, because they've been smacked a couple of times recently in Serie A. Napoli wiped the floor with them, and then they lost at home to Sampdoria. And Giampiero Gasperini, who we rightly praised and, you know, shout from the rooftops about how good he is, even he admitted, look, I made too many changes. And I think we forget sometimes, this is a club that in some ways shouldn't be at this level. They are so far above their own expectations. It's terrific to see them competing in this way. I actually think we'll be a bit sore about this, because this was a big opportunity for them and they let it slip.
Yeah, of course, the other big team in this section is Liverpool, who were 2-0 winners against Midtjylland. Diogo Jota's first Champions League goal put them ahead, and Mo Salah with a very late penalty made it 2. Midtjylland had a big chance at 1-0, couldn't take it, but they did lose Fabinho, Liverpool, to injury, and with Virgil van Dijk already out, that could be another blow for Jurgen Klopp's team. Jota's goal, by the way, was Liverpool's 10,000th in their very storied history, and it came 128 years after their first, which was scored in the 1800s. So a great moment for that football club. And we can hear from the goal scorer now. He's delighted that Liverpool have won, but also that they didn't concede.
It was really important for us to get that clean sheet. It is not happening a lot, and we need that because we are closer to win if we don't suffer. So in relation to Fabinho, I hope everything is fine, because we need him and we need everyone, because it's a busy schedule. We always want to win every game that we are involved, and of course we're 2-2, so we just want to keep on going and do our job.
Okay, so Group D looks like this. Liverpool, 6 points, followed by Atalanta, 4 points, Ajax on one, and Midtjylland, the debutants from Denmark, on 0 points. Well, what an evening it was, Kevin Hatchard. Could I ask you for a man of the match, please, from any of the eight games?
Joao Felix, because a huge moment for him, great technique, vital goals with the game on the line. I think he's a superstar in the making.
Rob Daly was watching a great game between Gladbach and Real Madrid. Who would you give it to?
Well, I was going to give it to Marcus Thuram, who said tonight that after scoring two goals in the Champions League against Real Madrid, he'd have preferred to have taken the 3 points. But given Casemiro's effort to keep the ball in for the Benzema goal and then be there in the right place at the right time to level, it has to go to Real Madrid's defensive midfielder, Casemiro.
Thanks, Rob. Let's give the final word to Pep Guardiola, speaking after Manchester City beat Marseille.
We play every 3 games, and when you win, you are good, and when you play, they want to destroy everything. The important is when the clubs and the chairman, sport director, the players, the managers are calm and know exactly what to do. So part of the criticism are right, so but accept it. So it's part of our job. The important is we are involved exactly where we are. Where it come from the last 1 month, like a lack of preparation with the people injured and COVID, and okay, Champions League now is in a good you know, good position, and in a league, in the Premier League we are away, but we have one game left, and still, you know, all the season it's time to take our rhythm, the people come back, and I'm pretty sure we're going to do a good season.
Pep Guardiola there. Richard Kaufman, your turn now, your man of the match from that game at the Velodrome.
Well, I'll give my man of the match to Phil Foden. Great energy, involved very much in the second and killer goal. And to echo what Kevin was saying earlier about another player, a star of the future.
Well, we saw plenty shine on Tuesday night. Another brilliant evening of action in the world's greatest club competition. And we are back on Wednesday from 6:30 p.m. CET. Another huge evening, live commentary on Istanbul Başakşehir here against Paris Saint-Germain in the early kickoff, followed by Juventus against Barcelona. We still don't know whether Ronaldo is going to play in that match. Lionel Messi certainly will. Also have extended updates on Manchester United against Leipzig and the goals as they go in from every other match. What an evening Tuesday was, though. And for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it is a very good night.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.